Hi, and welcome back to Central Point Podcast with me, Shireen. Please excuse the lowness of my voice. I'm a little bit under the weather, and I tell myself I'm going to rest my voice because I have to record an episode, and it just hasn't happened. So, this is episode 13. Don't hold your peace, even if you've got a croaky voice. Let's go. Maybe this is the testimony for this episode, guys. The testimony is, I'm going to talk about Jesus, even if the voice isn't present. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, this month, we've been talking about peace. From peace I leave you, Jesus. Peacemakers, children of God. Peace be still, Jesus in the storm. And then go in peace. Get your countenance right when you leave the presence of God, because He is able, He is faithful, and He can do it for you. And then we have a difference here. This shifts the focus to you, beloved, to me, beloved, to us, beloved, as children of the living God. Don't hold your peace. Now, you might remember an episode in January where I talk about how silence is eloquence. If you haven't listened to that, go take a listen. Enjoy. Heavy on the Jesus focus. Here today, we're going to talk about how silence isn't the choice. How holding back isn't the choice. How what the Lord has done and achieved for us is something to sing, shout, and dance about. And where I want to start in this is a place that always convicts me. Because I'm like, girl, Shireen, come on. God's going to get His praise. God will get His praise because He is. So reading from Luke 14, starting in verse 37. And I'm actually going to read from the King James Version, because the phrase that is the title of this episode is in the King James Version. And then we're going to read from the New King James Version for majority of the episode. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. I feel like I should change this podcast to immediately. It makes me smile when I read that word. Now in the New King James Version, it says, if these should keep silent. So we have this multitude that are shouting, that are declaring, that are rejoicing, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Just before this, many have taken off their clothes and put them on the road for him to travel across. There is honor here. There is reverence here. And I guess in some ways people would say irreverent praise, shouting, declaring, unashamedly letting everybody around know who this man is, who the Messiah is. He is here. He has come, and we will declare it. And these religious folk, these individuals, it's interesting, right? Master, in the New King James Version, it says teacher. rebuke your disciples. Rebuke. Such a strong word. Like they're doing something wrong. And Jesus, I love it. I tell you that if these should hold their peace, and should hold their peace is a word which, please don't come for me for the pronunciation. Siopauk. It means silence. That is a hush. Properly, a muteness. That is involuntary stillness or inability to speak. And I put this in capital letters. Be dumb. Jesus here is saying, if they could not speak, if this couldn't happen via their mouths, the stones would cry out, the stones would declare it, because it must be known, it must be heard, it must be declared who I am at this time. I'm sorry, that's such a flex. Anyone else think that's such a flex? Like, sorry, Pharisees, but if not them, the stones. Like, even just reading the stones would immediately cry out. Like, it reminds me of us being living stones and us being built up as the body of Christ. Living stones is something that comes to me when I read this. Beloved, our God is worthy of our praise, our declaration, our rejoicing, our public confession. They had Jesus with them at this time. They saw the wonders of what he had done, what he was doing, and they could not hold it in. We are living in a post-Jesus death, burial and resurrection reality, reconciled to God, saved by grace through faith in Jesus. We are in a magnificent place. Let us declare him loud. Holy is our God, worthy is our God. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming to take us home. Jesus will return. Let's declare who that Jesus is. And as always, Jesus is our main soul example, because everyone else follows suit, right? We follow suit. So we're going to look at Jesus, and then we're going to look at the disciples, and we're going to look at the Apostle Paul, and we're going to watch what opening our mouths produces. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And beloved, your life in Christ, you professing, confessing, shouting, Jesus is speaking life, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Your mouth will be a fountain of life. The example I want to read for Jesus is taken from John 7, starting in verse 25. And this is the New King James Version. Now some of them from Jerusalem said, is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? Look here, beloved. Look how Jesus' choice to speak boldly in spite of death threats, yet with him speaking and the people knowing that there are people here who want to kill him, yet they do nothing. They have to look at the situation and go, although this is the situation, although this is the circumstance, he is up there allowed to speak. They will do nothing. Maybe they too know he is truly the Christ. I find that fascinating. That because of Jesus' choice in that given circumstance that these individuals from Jerusalem in their mind come up with some sort of reasoning how this can be the case. For him to speak like this, for them to do nothing, maybe they're doing nothing because maybe he is truly the Christ. And as they're considering this, verse 27 says, however, as they continue speaking, we know where this man is from, but when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from. Verse 28, then Jesus cried out. We've gone from speaking boldly to him now crying out as he taught in the temple, saying, you both know me. And you know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. Look at what that Jesus is declaring here. I am who I am. Verse 30, therefore they sought to take him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. And many of the people believed in him and said, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done? Hallelujah. And many of the people believed in him. Hallelujah. I love it. He continues. He does not business that these people want to take his life. He is not in their hands. And it kind of mirrors Silence's eloquence, honestly, that episode. If you haven't listened, listen. But it's just the flip side. Here he does in business, and he will speak, and he will declare, and he will voice who he is at this point, and it is not the hour. So they can do nothing about it. They can get riled up, but they can do nothing about how they feel, about the situation, about what Jesus has confessed from his mouth. Boldly, beloved. And having that focus on speaking boldly, I want to look at the Apostle Paul, Ephesians 6, after he has exhorted and encouraged to put the full armor of God on. He mentions praying, and he mentions a prayer for himself. And so reading from verse 18, it says in the New King James Version, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then he turns it to himself. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Beloved, if you're sitting there thinking, I am not a public speaker, I am not someone who wants to present my own TED talk one day, I'm not one for the limelight, I'm not one for center stage, I'd rather not be on a mic, that is not me. Beloved, boldly doesn't mean stage, boldly doesn't even mean loud. Yes, I know the first one was loud, they were celebrating, it was, I'm sure, super impressive and awesome. That picture of Jesus coming on a colt across clothes and the voices raised. And yes, Jesus crying out in the temple, declaring who he is, speaking boldly before those that want to kill him. And then here's Paul saying, pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly, confidently. It doesn't have to be this grand thing for it to be bold. There is just this inner confidence, this Godfidence, beloved. When I look at the word translated for that word boldly, there's boldness, confidence, openness, plainness. It says meaning freedom. Openness, especially in speech. Freedom. You have been set free, beloved. I am talking about speaking, declaring, confessing Jesus. Paul is asking that he may open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which he is an ambassador in chains, that in it he may speak boldly, as he ought to speak, as he ought to speak, beloved. Every child of God has something to confess, because you are living, breathing testimony. You are evidence of a good and loving Father. You don't need a pulpit to speak boldly. You don't need a stage to speak boldly. You don't need to be the leader to speak boldly, a pastor to speak boldly, a ministering head to speak boldly. Beloved, you simply being a child of the living God is more than enough. You being saved by grace and indwelled with the Holy Spirit is enough for you to speak boldly, have confidence walking and talking in your freedom. Let everybody know. Let Paul's prayer be your prayer, beloved. Get into agreement with your fellow friends and say, hey, let's ask the Lord to help us speak boldly for him like we ought to speak. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. That has come to me, and I want to find that. That's right. This is when Jesus is talking to John the Baptist's disciples as they ask him if he is the Messiah or if they seek another, and he's listed a bunch of things, and he ends with, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Beloved, Jesus was able to speak boldly in spite of people wanting to kill him. There are individuals that don't like hearing about the Lord. Is that going to stop you? I have not shared this on my podcast, but I'm an actress. I share Jesus on set. I make no bones about it. Everyone knows I'm Christian. And I remember one particular film set. I was sharing, as I usually do, about Jesus openly, testimony, speaking about hearing the voice of God. And a Christian came over to me, a Christian, fellow Christian actor, and they were surprised at how openly I speak about my faith in that environment. They said that it's kind of looked down upon to do so. And my response was, I'm a child of God first before I'm an actress. If they want to know me, they're going to have to know that part of me. That's a major part of me. Jesus is a major part of my life. And it's not something I will hold back on. I don't care which environment I'm in. I won't be silenced for speaking about the goodness of God in my life. So we've read this prayer from Paul, which I encourage us to make our own. And beloved, he will do it. The Lord will do it. How about you ask the Lord and then you let yourself be in awe of God, that you are able to speak the way you speak, that you are able to pour out the way you're able to pour out. And you're like, well, when you ask the Lord, he really will do it for you. I want to go to Acts 5 now. And I want us to look at an instruction from the Lord, which is in verse 20. But I want to read the context around it. And I just want you to see, I really want you to notice like the finer details of this, the choice in this, which is just wonderful. Starting in verse 17, then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." I just feel like this episode is full of flexes, okay? That's what Jesus. "The stones will immediately cry out, should they hold their peace." Flex. "This man is speaking boldly in the presence of those that want to kill him." Flex. "Throw these people in prison." The Lord sends an angel, releases them. The angel says, "Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." Verse 21, "And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught." They didn't hesitate and go, "Oh, we should find an opportune time. And I don't know, that we were in prison. What about the high priest?" None of that. None of that. "They entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, 'Indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside.' Now, when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, 'Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people.' Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence because, catch the reason, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you had filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and indeed to bring this man's blood on us.'" Ooh, sounds like people are a little scared. Peter's response, verse 29, "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than man.'" I just want to like jump up and like throw my fist in the air. What a response. "They said, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name?' They said, 'We ought to obey God rather than man.'" I'm sorry, beloved. Do not hold your peace because someone wants to mute the joy in you. Don't let nobody tell you that you cannot declare that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You are here. You are Christian. You are delighting in a podcast about Jesus because he is. Don't let anybody steal your joy and make you mute. Something just came to me and it's about business. Do not hold back your love for Jesus because of business. If you're a business owner, someone that wants to go into business and you're thinking that you cannot confess the Lord like that because it doesn't work for the world, I would just say so. You're a child of the living God, the sovereign of the universe. What do you mean it doesn't work for man? What do you mean they won't get it? What do you mean? I'm going to have to dull my Jesus. I'm going to have to dull my shine in order to get where I want to be. If this pertains to you at all, take hold of your Jesus. Let him show you what partnering with him does. Let him show you what him being CEO of that business does. I just felt that really strongly as I said that these apostles went to the temple early. I love that the angel's like, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. What a beautiful way of putting it. All the words of this life. Beloved, you know the beautiful reality of life. You have received the very light of the world. You have all the words of this life. Obey God. Don't look to man. Obey God. Don't feel threatened by man. This angel took him out of prison. Verse 23, it says, indeed, we found the prison shut securely, and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. It says in verse 19, but at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. We serve a supernatural God. If he wants to, if he wills to do it, he can do it. Don't let the opinions of the world keep your praise to a Sabbath if you attend church on Sabbath, or a Sunday if you attend church on a Sunday, or any of the prayer meetings in the midweek. Don't leave your confession, your praise, your delighting to the church building because it's a safe place to do so. You don't know what your boldness will produce in others. Do not judge your testimony. Nothing is too small at all when God is involved. Your smile about the Lord's work, even in the smallest of detail of your life, and it doesn't so much have to be the very thing that resonates with them, but it's the light in your eyes. It's the smile on your face. It's your whole countenance as you recount that story, that moment, that event. The person that you are talking to cannot help but consider, well, this person truly believes God has done this for them, truly believes God is keeping them. This person really loves their God. I want to look at an example of Peter preaching to a person who by culture at that time would have been unclean for him to deal with. But Peter, before this moment, has a dream of unclean animals, and as God would do it, gave him a lesson. Because as he would confess from his own mouth, as he came to the understanding of what that vision was for, he learned that he should not call any man unclean. And thus, from the vision given by God to heal a distorted view, Peter is able to share with this person and his family. And this is found in Acts 10. Starting from verse 34, and this segment is headed preaching to Cornelius's household. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. What awesome little sermonette. Can you just see it? Can you see Peter declaring, recounting, starting with, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. Testimony, change of heart, declaration, revelation. In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. What a great start. And you end the same way, pretty much, to him. All the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Hallelujah. What a preach. What an account. What a giving of Jesus Peter does here. And it says in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. They must have received it. They must have received the word, beloved. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This has happened because Peter has made a choice to preach. He says when he meets Cornelius, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. The words from Acts 5, as Peter spoke to the high priest, we ought to obey God rather than man. Peter was given a dream before this encounter. He wondered what it meant. And then someone meets him and says, hey, I gotta take you somewhere. He sees where he is going. The dream resonates. Oh, time to get rid of my prejudice. God wants to use me here. And he starts when he opens his mouth. In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. What boldness of speech. Ooh, it's unlawful for a Jewish man to do this. Oh, come on, beloved. When Jesus is real, when Jesus has taken hold of your life, when you have a living testimony in you and what being saved by grace produces, it doesn't matter what is lawful, it doesn't matter what is unlawful, you will open your mouth, because children of God will not be silent when it comes to the love of the life. It is by our confession that a choice is given to people. Beloved, you have it in you. Share it. Let someone know. People think they know Christianity without having known Christianity. They think RE's going to tell them about Christianity. No, it's not. It's you. It's you, the living, breathing testimony of Jesus working in your life. That is Christianity. You don't know, beloved, what Holy Spirit can do through you if you would open your mouth. Beloved, people need to know this good news inside of you, this gift to enter into the presence of God. This peace, this joy, this access to love. People need to know it's available to them. You don't need a church congregation. You don't need a major platform. Wherever you are, Holy Spirit also is. Whomever is beside you is an opportunity to share. Confess the Lord in the land of the living. I want to read from Hebrews 10. The segment is headed, Hold Fast Your Confession. Starting from verse 19, it reads, Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us focus here, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. How do you stir up love and stir up good works? How do you exhort someone with your mouth shut? Psalms 105 verse 1 says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name and make known his deeds among the peoples. Let a neighbor know. Let a brother know, let a sister know, let a work colleague know, let the person at the bus stop know, let a friend at school know, let the person on the park bench know, let somebody know. Let somebody know, beloved, who you belong to, whose hands you are in, who has saved your life, how he is working in it. Let somebody know. You have no idea who needs to know what God is doing in your life. You do not know the ripple effect of you being willing to share the joy, the hope that is in you. Reading from Hebrews 13, I just want to read verses 5 and 6. It talks about what you can boldly say. But it says in verse 5, Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If that's not something to just sing and dance about, the God of the universe, the one who created everything, says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6 says, so we may boldly say, not just say, boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And I just feel like that verse permeates through the accounts that we read. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We had the people declaring Jesus when they threw down their clothes, and the Pharisees said, rebuke them. And Jesus said, if they don't, the stones will. Jesus is boldly speaking. He cries out in front of people wanting to kill him. I will not fear what man can do to me. The apostles are in prison. They get released by the angel of the Lord, commanded to speak, teach, speak the ways of this life in the temple. They do so, not fearing what man can do. Man says, did we not command you not to speak in his name? The response is, we ought to obey God rather than man. Peter, no longer looking at what it will look like, preaches Jesus to the Gentile and his family, and Holy Spirit comes down. They receive. It is a beautiful time. Baptism happens. Testimony is born. Witnesses are made. As they see the glory of the Lord, as they see what believing in Jesus produces, as they watch these individuals boldly walk in the way of the Lord. Beloved, the Lord is your helper. Do not fear what man can do. The greatest love of your life is our Father in heaven, is our Abba. Share what he has done. Don't hold your peace. And guess what? By not holding your peace, you provide someone peace with God. Isn't that just wonderful, beloved? Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the multiple accounts of speaking boldly, of not holding one's peace to preserve oneself, but being determined to have you known in the earth. Thank you so much for these examples for us to meditate on, to sit with, to pray into, Father God. Just like Paul's prayer, Father God, would you give us utterance? Father God, would you give us utterance to share the mystery of this most wonderful gospel? Open our mouths to speak boldly, Father God, with confidence, plainly, from the freedom we have received from you. The freedom that we have in you, Father God. You are all about saving lives. You would use our mouths to speak life, to share life, to give the opportunity to choose new life. It is such a privilege to be your child, Father God. We do not take it for granted that you have chosen, that you have spoken, that you have poured out, that you remain faithful to your promise. Lord, help us, empower us, equip us, give us the faith to share, that we would love others the way you have called us to love others, so we would make sure that those around us have had the opportunity to choose, that they have had the opportunity to really take hold and see Jesus, that we come into agreement with Holy Spirit, and that we join in the body of Christ, knowing that we are one cog in this huge machine. Whether we are the first or the 100th child of God, a person encounters, Father God. Have your will and your way in our lives. You have called us to share the gospel. You have called us to it, which means you will do it in us. We have looked at what your peace produces, how we can be in the world, how we can be in our inner world as we walk this earth, how our countenance can be, how we represent you here on earth, Father God. And here we know that our confession must be made. Oh, Father God, I praise you in advance for the testimony, for the joy shared, for the light bulbs that go on, for the light in the eyes that get switched on, dear Lord, for the praise that will exit out of mouths, who will take hold of the words that we share, the life that we share, the gospel that we share. Thank you so much for partnering with us, for making us co-laborers with Christ. How amazing to be called to such a great work. We love you, dear Lord. And I pray for anyone who has limited views in their minds, who really says, that's not me, who, like Moses, said, I cannot talk, and you gave him Aaron to speak on his behalf. Moses was adamant. He wasn't a talker. I speak against any limited views, any limited self-view, anything that someone might convince themselves disqualifies them from opening their mouth and sharing. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I declare over you that your life hid in Christ, the very wellspring that is inside of you, will pour out. That you will delight and rejoice in your ability to share by his grace. Thank you, dear Lord, for the praise that will rise to your glory because you are worthy. Thank you for loving us, keeping us, and watching over us. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's the final episode of March. Oh my days. I'm super grateful that I even get to share on this podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining me. We're gonna be in April. And by God's grace, I'll see you then. Take care.